This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The details of the affair between State Representatives Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat, along with Corser's attempt to smear himself and cover things up with a fake gay sex scandal, it's all made national and worldwide headlines. The two Tea Party conservative Christian lawmakers at the center of the scandal, though, are just the latest in a colorful history of Michigan political scandals. Detroit Free Press columnist Nancy Kaffer is with us now. And Nancy, ever since this thing broke, I've heard a lot of people talking about Kwame Kilpatrick and Christine Beatty and that scandal. But boy, there is a lot of dirt to dish about that predates that one, isn't there?
There sure is. And so we did this piece on Michigan political scandals. We wanted to avoid the Kwame story. It's so well known. It's in so much in our immediate recent past. We wanted to talk about stuff that isn't quite as top of mind as these more recent and well-publicized events.
Yeah, you take us right back to 1939 to Mayor Richard Reading. Tell us about this one.
So there was a woman named Janet McDonald who killed herself and her young daughter, which is awful to start off with. And then she had sent notes to the newspapers saying that her former lover, who was a bookie, had been paying bribes to the Detroit police to protect his gambling racket. There was an investigation. At the time, apparently, Richard Reading had not wanted to investigate the police department, which the city council felt sort of like, why on earth is he not wanting to investigate the police department? Turns out because he was taking kickbacks.
Surprise!
He was taking pay for promotions, and he was convicted on some corruption charges, sentenced to 4 to 5 years in prison. And when he was convicted, his comment was, "This is the greatest injustice since the crucifixion of Christ." So a man with a reasonable sense of proportion.
Absolutely. And then we had Oakland County's famous bigamist judge, the Honorable William Beer.
Now, I don't know if he actually married the second family. He was a judge that had been married to his first wife for decades. They had some kids, and then he started a new family with his secretary, who was then 19. They had 9 children together, so he had 3 kids with one woman, his wife, and then 9 children with it. But this wasn't an issue of like he was having an affair on the side. He had an established like 2 households and was a part of these households. But then the more serious thing is he appears to have made some just really shocking decisions as a judge, including in one rape case. He was retired from the bench and was a visiting judge at this time. In one rape case, was a convicted rapist and could have been sentenced to 15 years in jail. And this Judge Beer gave him a year of freedom to see if he could behave himself before, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, the upshot of it was we changed the law that you can't have a delayed or suspended sentence in a rape conviction. So, silver lining?
I guess, yeah. Nancy, many in Michigan have a pretty cynical view of our state legislature. And in the big story in Sunday's Free Press, you kind of point out that the big house fiscal agency scandal of 1993 could be a big reason why we're so cynical. What was that about?
Yes, so this was before my time, so I don't know what the mood was at the time, but in the reporting that I read on it, it seems like this was a scandal that really made people change their view of how state government operated and the trust they should put in it. This was the House Fiscal Agency, some employees were essentially using it as a personal piggy bank to pay credit cards, to go on vacations, buy furniture, dental work, social event, pay taxes, and there were also some faked up bills for non-existent contract workers. This was in the big scheme of things, agency employees only defrauded the state of about $2 million, which is not a huge amount of money, but the damage to public trust and the reliability of the state government seems to have taken a pretty big blow from this.
It was interesting reading the 7 worst political scandals in Michigan history. We had Detroit City Council member Kay Everett. She of the famous, beautiful hats got into some hot water and sausage was involved.
Yes, she was indicted on a variety of charges, including taking bribes and one of the allegations made was that part of the bribe had been paid in sausage, 17 pounds of it, which is just, how does that even happen? Like,
what do you do with 17 pounds of sausage?
And how do you even get to that point in the conversation? I'd like you to consider voting for me. And by the way, I've got some sausage. Allegedly, she passed away before she could be brought to trial on these charges. Mm-hmm. So we'll never really know the truth of what happened, whether these charges would be proven or whether they were. We'll never know.
And as your story says, the puns are way too many to count with this story.
They sure are. They're political sausage making. It's a crazy story.
Nancy, we have to talk about David J. And this is not all that long ago, because this is kind of how we started the 21st century in Michigan, with the antics of this Republican state senator. Take us through the laundry list.
So he was the first state lawmaker to ever be expelled from the state Senate. In our archives, a longtime political associate of Jay's described his personal life as a very weird spectacle around the time of his expulsion in 2001. I think you could actually describe sort of his whole legislative career as a very weird spectacle. He was notorious for race baiting, for making, playing up suburban-urban differences, talking badly about Detroit. One point supposedly dropped a pistol on the legislative floor, fell out of his pocket.
I remember that.
Yeah, this is all before my time. So any colorful details you'd like to chip in with, please.
There is quite a laundry list. I know that. The drunken driving arrests.
Drunken driving arrests. Yes, he had several drunken driving arrests. And then there was a domestic violence charge, which led directly to the expulsion hearings. At the time, during part of this investigation around this stuff, it was discovered that he had nude pictures of his then fiance, who was accused of assaulting, on his work computer. Just all kinds of. One of the things that kind of came through in reading this stuff about scandals is that the stuff people do, having been arrested for drunken driving, having a domestic violence charge against you, that's serious stuff and it's something that should be taken seriously. But it seems like in reading various people's stories that the conduct of the lawmakers may really be what drives their colleagues to snap. It's the behavior around this stuff. It's like if you're going to be dropping guns in the Capitol and generally making a spectacle of yourself, then there may not be as much tolerance for these peccadilloes.
And we probably need to politically balance things out, because as wild and crazy as the antics of Republican David J., we had Detroit Democrat Henry Stallings II. Where do you even begin with that laundry list?
Boy, so he was sort of elected on a fluke. His Senate district had been the longtime safe seat of a lawmaker named David Holmes, who died unexpectedly shortly after the filing deadline. Stallings had filed to run. The state legislature tried to change the laws to say that other people could file to run. Apparently, people weren't real excited about the idea of Stallings getting a state Senate seat. He's kind of an also-ran at that time. He sued, saying that they couldn't change the filing deadline, and won. He took the seat, and then had some sort of small change legal problems. Like, there had been a paternity suit where at first he said he had no idea who the woman who claimed to have his child was, and then shocker, it really was his child. He had a bankruptcy. He had not paid child support for some of his other children, not the paternity suit child, but other children. And then in 1996, he was charged with using a state worker to frame pictures in his Detroit art gallery, using some campaign contributions to pay his rent and failing to pay sales and withholding taxes for his business. So this went on for years. These charges were brought in 1996. In 1998, they were starting expulsion proceedings, and he resigned apparently moments ahead of the expulsion vote.
When you look at this, the hierarchy that you've spelled out of Michigan political scandals, where do you think the Courser Gamrat scandal is going to rank?
So I had to say, and obviously there's no way we could fit everything into a piece. This piece was already hugely long, and there were people saying, why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't you talk about that? We don't really seem to have a lot of really juicy sex scandals in Michigan. We had, the occasional account of a lawmaker being caught with a prostitute or something, and there were a couple of those. So, I got to say, there is human nature. There is a certain, salaciousness to the Courser Gamrat scandal that maybe isn't present in some of these other things, and also we're not out of the woods on this one yet. The new details continue to unfold. Todd Courser continues to make Facebook posts, which you'd think someone closer to him would have revoked his internet access by now. So this, I think, is going to be pretty high on the list.
Detroit Free Press columnist Nancy Kaffer. And the story, the seven worst political scandals of in Michigan history, can be found at freep.com. Thank you so much for the lurid history lesson, Nancy.
You're welcome, Cindy. Thank you for having me.